Like a fist full of sand, life will slip right through your hands. Life will slip right through your hands if you are undecided. Now, the title of this message is The Sin of Being Undecided. The Sin of Being Undecided. Now, how many of you have ever been undecided? You know, you go through... Yeah. I think y'all were just having a spell of that back here. Trying to decide which way to do those Ten Commandments, whether the letter would be curved or straight. They had to flip a coin to make that decision. But the sin of, you know, undecided, being undecided is something that we all struggle with. We've all been there. But sometimes when it goes on and on, you have to wonder, what's going on behind the scene? Is there something else going on? Maybe from the spiritual realm, and I'm not talking about the good side of the spirit, but the evil side of the spirit that causes one to linger in a state of being indecisive, not being able to make a decision, the sin of being undecided. I want to begin by turning to Exodus 14 and verse 10. Exodus 14 and verse 10. It says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. This is Exodus 14, verse 10. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That little expression right there, they were sore afraid, sort of like the deer in the headlights. You're immobilized. I can't do anything. They were sore afraid. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt with us to carry us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? You know, they wanted to stay there and be slaves. It's better for me to stay in prison. It's better for me to be a slave. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, if there were ever a group of people that should have been undecided, it is this group of people. I mean, think about it. At one time, I knew the landscape of that because I studied it a little bit better. But I think on one side of them were mountains. Maybe on the other side was mountains also. I forget what it was on, you know, left side, right side. Behind them was Pharaoh's army. In front of them was the Red Sea. Now, you can just picture them just sort of spinning around in circles, indecision, undecided. Which way do we go? I can't walk on water. I can't turn around and go back into Pharaoh's army. I can't scale those mountains. Indecision. They were undecided. So these people had a good excuse to be undecided, didn't they? God would excuse this indecision, wouldn't he? Well, let's take a look at the next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? This is God speaking. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. No excuse for being undecided. Now, you think of yourself. You've got the enemy biting at your heels. You can't go left. You can't go right. And you can't walk on water. What's your choices? Well, indecision is not a choice. That's not one of your choices. Your choice is go forward. In faith, of course. And I believe that, and I know the movie probably doesn't picture it like this, but I would be willing to bet that that water didn't start to part until they made a step forward. Just knowing, you know, just thinking about faith, thinking about how the lesson that God wants us to learn. I don't think they sit there for, you know, 48 hours, you know, just sit there in a state of indecision, and you'll figure it out in about 48 hours what you should do. No. They moved forward. They move forward. Indecision, the inability to reach a decision, hesitation. And what caused it? Well, fear is one of the things. Fear of what, though? Well, fear of the unknown, fear of looking bad, fear of making a fool of yourself, fear of mistakes, fear of being wrong, fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of angering God. You know what I found? I found that self-righteous people have a hard time making decisions. In other words, they live in a state of indecision because they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong. I can't be wrong. I'll displease God. And so they live in a state of never making a decision. There's a lot of things that we know we should be doing. Isn't that right? And I'm not talking about the things that you don't know, you're unsure of. I'm talking about the things that you know you should be doing. You know, sometimes people, well, I don't know what I should be doing. You know, that to me is almost evidence of something called maybe the Holy Spirit is lacking there. Because the Holy Spirit inside of you will not let you rest in peace. You know, Paul talks about on his way blinded, on his way to Damascus, he was blinded. God says that, you know, he says, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or cattle prod or ox goad. Something was punching him and poking him. And, you know, the same is true of us. You know, these areas that we know that what we should be doing. You can't rest at peace. You know you should be doing this. And yet, there is this indecision. Which is better? To make a decision and make a mistake and then have to ask for forgiveness, or make no decision and thereby make no mistake? Again, which is better? To make a decision and make a mistake and then have to ask for forgiveness, or make no decision and thereby make no mistake? And we're going to answer that question today. We're going to look at the scripture in Matthew 25 and verse 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And he gave one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. The talents God has given you, be it 1, be it 2, be it 5, be it 20, be it whatever, it says that God gives to every man according to his several ability. So what does that tell us? So it tells you that there's no reason for indecision, because he's not going to put on you more than you can handle. He's going to give according to your talents, according to your ability. So with that talent, there's no room for being indecisive, indecision. Then he which received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he had had 2, also gained 2 more. But he that had the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now what is the difference between the 2? You know, you've got two people, 1 given 5, 1 given 2. They have something in common. But the 1, he's a little bit different. The difference is how they handle indecision. That's the difference between these people. How they handle the curse of being indecisive, indecision. If we look at indecision for what it really is, it is a vice that holds you back. It is a delay tactic. It is productivity thrown to the wind. It can be the devil's greatest disguise, because we think it's coming from us. Well, I'm just an indecisive person. I just can't make decisions. And we never really consider this bombardment of, you know, I just can't, you know, hold off, wait a minute, you know, things that, you know, surely everything's going to go to hell and I better hold off on that decision or whatever. You know, I can think when I, back, was it 26 years ago? No, 25 years ago, we built a home. And I remember the same feelings and emotions back then of, I know things are going to get really bad and just boom, you know, I'll buy this home and I'll finance this and everything will go, the economy will go down. And I think how stupid that would have been for me to think that. Indecision. And I'm not just talking about material, mundane things like a home or something. I'm talking about more areas of our spiritual life, the indecisiveness, things that hold us back. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckoneth with them. Do you realize that there's a day of reckoning concerning your talents? A day of reckoning. Think about that. It's not enough just to have your talents. There is a day of reckoning. What did you do with it? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He accomplished victory over indecision. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2. Behold, I have gained 2 others beside them. Victory over indecision. His Lord said, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you sow, where you have not sown, and gathered where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, there's that word, and went and hid your talent in the earth, and lo, you have what is yours. What is the characteristic of this guy? Indecision ruled his life. What was the reason for the indecision? I was afraid. Although it gets a little bit deeper than that. His Lord answered and said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I straw, where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to at least put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine with interest or usury. In other words, what he's saying is this. If you know you're indecisive, you should at least delegate this out to someone else. That's the least you should have done, is to delegate this out. Take, therefore, the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And those that don't have teeth, teeth will be provided. Okay. So he's saying, all right, if you know that you are indecisive, delegate, support someone else, get behind someone else. Who does God love more? The risk taker or the person that always plays it safe? Now, I want to tell you something about this. If you conquer this indecision, indecisiveness, if you conquer it, if you face it head on, if you identify it when it comes your way, oh boy, I'm in a state of just not making it, I can't make this decision. If you conquer it, let me tell you what you will do. You will make a lot of mistakes. Your life will be full of mistakes. Now, I mentioned about self-righteous people I think are very indecisive. And I look at this one guy who had the 1 talent. I mentioned that it was not just fear that held him back. I can imagine him reasoning like this. If I don't make a decision, I won't make a mistake. And if I don't make a mistake, I won't have to ask for forgiveness. And if I don't have to ask for forgiveness, I will therefore please my master. His self-righteousness was achieved by not making decisions, therefore not making mistakes, therefore not having to ask for forgiveness. Let me think about that. You know, and I don't know if this guy expected the answer he got in return. I think it blew him away. You wicked and unprofitable servant. I don't know if he ever thought that was coming. I think in his mind he said, look, I'm wanting to do the right thing for this man. I don't want to let him down. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to have to ask for forgiveness. Choosing poorly is better than not choosing at all. Better to grow old having learned from your mistakes than to grow old having learned nothing. And do we understand the purpose of God's grace? You know, there is a sense of self, how I go about achieving self-righteousness. There's a human way to try to achieve self-righteousness, and that is not to make any mistakes. To obsess on always being right. And then there's God's way to achieve rightness in a guy, in a man or a woman. And that way involves grace. When you go out and learn from your mistakes, and the grace of God is there to cover that and to move on with your life. That's God's kind of righteousness. I won't turn there, but you know the story. Elijah went up to the people and said, "How much longer will it take you to make up your minds? If the Lord is God, worship Him. But if Baal is God, worship Him." But the people didn't say a word. They couldn't decide what to do. You know, it's not that we don't know. We just like playing this little game of being undecided. It's not that we don't know that this sin in our life is wrong. We're just not sure we want to do anything about it right now. I mean, not right now. I mean, let me hold off and think about it a little bit. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Why is the emphasis on that? Today, not tomorrow, today. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Because we mentioned about the importance of faith when it comes to being undecided. The importance of faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When you are faced with indecision, you have one choice and one choice only: to move forward in faith. To move forward in faith. That's your choice. I mean, that's the one option that you have. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Well, Lord, I can't. I mean, I can't move, Lord. There's no way to go. You don't expect me to walk on water, do you? That's the sea in front of me. We can't move forward. And God comes along and says, "Yes, you can. But you got to make that step in faith, and I'll open up a way for you." And I think this is critical, because in some of the things I've been trying to do, like with the program, "Is That Really in the Bible?" I really don't know how I'm going to continue doing that. I don't know where the time, money, energy, I don't know where the continuous outreach or more stations will come from. I don't know. But I do know what I can do today. And it's just an issue of not allowing that demon of undecisiveness to control my life. Well, I'll let a week go by and I'll think about it. Another week you may be dead. you can't do that. James 1 and verse 6. Let's look at that. James 1 and verse 6. James 1 and verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way." What are we talking about? Indecision. I can't make up my mind what I want to do, where I want to go. Life is so brief. And time is a thief when you're undecided. And like a fist full of sand, it can slip right through your hands. You know, let me tell you what time will do to you if you're undecided. You will turn around, turn around, turn around again, and you'll be an old man, an old woman, maybe dead if you're undecided. Time is a thief when you're undecided. And if you conquer this indecision, you will make mistakes. You will make mistakes. I believe God is very intolerant of indecisive people. "Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." And they rose up early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain and said, "Lord, we are here. We will go to the place Jehovah has promised. For we have sinned." Remember the story? They lollygagged around. You know, God said, "Go up." And they said, "No, we ain't going to do it." They were all full of indecision. And then after they failed, they said, "Well, go up now." And God says, "Don't go up, for God is not with you." There is a window of opportunity. A window of opportunity. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. How much longer will it take you to make up your minds?" You know, I think of that verse in Ecclesiastes that says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." Did you know there is something that you really can't do with all your might? You really can't be undecided with all your might. Now, maybe some people can. You know, it's like that song, country western song, "I'm good at drinking beer." You know, this guy figured out something he's good at. Well, maybe some people are good at being undecided. But you really can't perfect that, can you? It's only when you've made a decision at what you're going to do, then you can do that with all your might. But you really can't with all my might, I'm just going to sit around and be undecided. You can't do that. In C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, it's a fascinating read. It's one of those books you have to read each chapter about three times before you get it. But it's about a demon training another demon. He's a master demon. He's training his apprentice how to tempt people. And it's so good it's scary, because you read it and you think, oh boy, is that real? I mean, if it is, whew, I need to reevaluate everything that's going on in my life. But Screwtape says this. He said, one of my own patients, he's talking about a human being. He's referring to one of his own patients. They refer to humans as patients. They refer to God as the enemy. Okay, you got to get into this kind of thinking, but it's really bizarre. But Screwtape says, one of my own patients said on his arrival down here, speaking of hell, he said, one of my own patients said on his arrival down here, I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked. I see now that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought to nor what I like. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Indecision, a device that holds you back, a delay tactic, productivity thrown to the wind. Never wait or hesitate. Give and get before it's too late. You may never get another chance.